Well, he's no Terry Turris. He just blends.
He just blends in. He's got the scarf over there in South America.
He looks very European. I don't know. What's the go for South America, Berkey?
I think grow a beard, maybe, and carry a machine gun, isn't it? Yeah. That's the way.
How does he not look like a tourist, though, Berkey? I'm worried about the little mate when he goes away.
Yeah, you just got to... Maybe just sit and have a coffee at the local coffee shop. You know, blend in that way. I think you're right, Loz. A dog, that'll be a good addition.
I'll be punting and drinking. That's what. What responsibly?
Responsibly.
Yeah, with my crew from Ambassador Travel, it'll be a good fun time, mate. Huge day today for your code, but not only your code, mate. For every code, really, with Israel Folau. Well, he's testing his employment contract, really, isn't he?
Yeah, very much so. And from all. There's a good article in the Telegraph sort of overnight this morning about, I don't think you'll bother going to another tribunal. You just go either to the High Court or the Fair Work Tribunal,
exactly right.
And test the case. So it's an interesting one, TK, for the fact that we've spoken about, God's word and we've seen him preach in his sermons. And I wonder who's driving him now to maybe, if that's the case, take it forward. If it's God's word and God's word is final, is this going to be the last piece of the puzzle or will it go further? And I just have this feeling because there's, I don't know if it's the money at stake or it's reputation at stake and fighting for religious freedoms. But, mate, it's certainly, if it goes down this track, it could certainly cripple rugby union. And we know that there was reports made during the week about Foxtel and pulling out of certain sports, and one of those could be vulnerable is certainly rugby union and soccer, for example, at A-League. So this could be a cruel blow. And then on that, who is made accountable at the Australian Rugby Union or Rugby Australia? Who's the ones going to be accountable there? So there's plenty of things that are still to wash up in this decision that's supposed to be made about midday today.
Yeah, see, I don't even think it's all about the religious freedom and the homophobic slurs. I think it's about breaking your contract with the people who give you the cash every week. I mean, if you sat there at Channel 10 at night and you said, you know what, don't know why you're watching me, I'd much rather be at Channel 9 delivering the news and, it stinks here and, I'm a big 9 man. How do you reckon you'd go? Do you reckon you'd be turning up the next night?
Oh, man, you're back.
I'm
with you. I'm with you, TK.
No, he gave guarantees he wouldn't do it, and he broke his word.
Mm.
A second time.
Well, that's the thing. It wasn't.
It's not about what he said, in a way.
No, it's about going against what your employer has told you to do.
After significant warning, mate.
Yeah.
Couldn't agree more, boys. Couldn't agree more.
It's not a,
We'll see how that plays out today. Yeah. But the Wallabies, they're getting together, are they, on Sunday?
Yeah, they've got the extended squad happening. It's sort of, I suppose, it's their second one of the year. Remember, the first one provided a little bit of chaos with some injuries to players. That's that David Pocock sort of ongoing issue in his calf. So they're up to Queensland, and they're getting together. So Scott Johnson's going to be there along with Michael O'Connor, the assistant, the selector. So they'll sort of have their first sort of say and first real encounter with new director of rugby. And they'll just literally canvass the whole mob here. So if you don't get a start, I think you'd be feeling a little bit out in this sort of scenario, Loz, because, it's obviously looking ahead for World Cup and now without a couple of players. But, it's going to be a good little get together, a little powwow, just to sort of have a reality check from Australian rugby point of view, is to see where they want to go and how Checo wants to go. They haven't told us who's in the squad at the moment, so there could be a few surprise inclusions. Hopefully, some new blood in there as well, just to get that early exposure.
Yeah, I'm preempting here, Berkey, but if Israel gets sacked today, and they all come together on Sunday, will there be a division in the group?
Yeah,
I don't think so. Right. I don't think so, because ultimately, as you said before, boys, contractually that's your job. And if these blokes don't get a start in a World Cup squad and what's going to be a squad of, I imagine, sort of 40, 45, for example, if you don't get a start there, you're then putting yourself behind the eight ball. So I think first and foremost, you've got to look after yourself. You know, I mean, there can be all these things about, hey, we give this guy support, but first and foremost, in your camp, if you don't go, if you don't provide support, if you don't get paid, you're going to get paid, that's your job gone. So I think more than anything else is that, hey, we will think about our friend. If that's what we're hearing they're saying through the media at the moment, and the boys are saying, but ultimately, you've got to look after yourself. If you get the opportunity to go to a World Cup squad camp, yeah, you take that first and foremost.
Yeah, look, I'm not prepared to say it won't have an effect on our World Cup campaign, a division, and because they'll be committed, but how committed? You know what I mean? You want them to... You want that absolute commitment,
bone
you know? I'm stating the obvious, but you know what I mean? Yeah, like, right. No, we're all committed. Yeah. But, you know, how, you know, are you bone deep committed? Yeah. You're exactly right. But let's try and find some winners, because Matt Tamua, what about him? He got off the plane.
Yeah.
Then he went to Melbourne Rebels training. Then he didn't know where he was living. He's at least he got a house, but he had to ring her to find out where it was because he didn't know where the house was.
He had a little quote last night saying, I could walk around in full Rebels kit around the city and people would just think I'm a supporter. That's the anonymity of sort of rugby down in Melbourne. So, yeah, he comes onto the bench. The Rebels are up against the Bulls at home, and you know, it's a tight one, but you know, Rebels with a chance to now jump ahead of the Brumbies who got the bye. I think that could be a good start here. Cooper back, he's been cleared of that head knock that he got whacked with the other week. You're right, Tamura is on the bench. They haven't beaten the South African team this year. That's the biggest hurdle to start with, and that's the physicality they come up with. So you then got Dan Hallett-Petty enjoying that 15 role, and you know he's going to be eyeing that off for Wallabies now. It's a sharp back line, but it's all about that physicality up front. And, you know, you've got to dominate there. And their back row has to be, you know, spot on. Leota, Hardwick and Cottrell have to be massive against these blokes to get the win. So I'm taking Rebels for the win for that one, boys.
Right. They're $1.40, the Rebels. $2.95 outside is the Bulls. What about the Reds taking on the Waratahs? And a name that rugby league people know so well is a guy by the name of Hugh McGahn, a New Zealand legend, and obviously played out here with the Roosters. His son, Matt, gets an opportunity.
I'd had to go back. I remember his name. Then I saw him running over you, Loz, in a try. So I thought you would have played.
Thanks for bringing that up. He was a big man, wasn't he?
Huge man. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So his son usually plays 10, but he's he hurt his leg at the start of the year, and he's back playing in that 15 role. So a couple of changes for Queensland. Yeah, they're, as you mentioned, they are up against the Tars. The Tars have won the last 10. So this one's at home. It will be tight. I don't think your boys at TAB can split it at the moment, but there'll be some great matchups in that as well. You know, Karevi up against Hunt in that 12 role, but obviously there's the drift defence they play, so plenty of pressure on the 10s to be able to, Hegarty and Foles be able to defend. So Adam Ashley Cooper plays his 150th game. He'll partner Carmichael Hunt in the centres. Waratahs, big concern for them is too many penalties over the last couple of weeks. Yes, they got stitched up last week against the Lions in South Africa, but they have to be big and accountable this week. And I'm tipping the Reds to break the mold this week. I think they'll get out of the rush and get the win against the Waratahs up at home. I sort of can't separate these two teams at the moment, and the home ground advantage could be the one.
Okay, so your good things, the Rebels at $1.40 against the Bulls, and you're actually tipping the Reds are actually $2 at tab.com.au against the Waratahs, $1.80. And Berkey, tonight on your news on 10, you'll be showing this disgraceful vision from Nick Kyrgios over there at the Rome Open, mate, where he carries on like an absolute prat, but kicks the chairs, throws the chair in onto the court. He got disqualified. As I mentioned, I can hardly think of any tennis players who have ever got disqualified.
You really want to make a statement if you're doing that, isn't it? I mean, it's interesting he did that podcast, you know, the other day where he, you know, slammed Kyrgios and Djokovic. And, you know, you can do that when you've done stuff. When you haven't done anything, I think you got to tuck your head in.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more, Berkey. I couldn't agree more. And Kyrgios, the other quote was against Verdasco. He said that he's the most arrogant person.
That's right.
I laugh.
The most arrogant or the second most arrogant after myself?
Yeah, I don't know. That's right. It reminds me of him.
Anyway, I think Nick's just told me down the line, maybe John McEnroe back in 1990 was the... So, yeah, it's been decades since anyone's actually been disqualified.